The text 087-772-0000, and we're here till 7:30 talking you two. Here's one here. Dave, I wonder, can you help me with tonight's U2 gig being possibly the biggest and best? I'm trying to find out when and where was their first official gig. If anyone knows, surely it must be you. Thanks, Michael, me and Rialto. God, I should have read that before. I can't remember. First official gig. Wait, hold on a minute now. Let me see. Wait a minute now. Beep, have you any idea when their first official gig was, do you?
Well, I'll tell you who would know. It's Steve Averill.
And he's there now, just coming off the stage, is he? Because the Radiators are playing there tonight.
They did, indeed. The Radiators, Plan 9. I saw them last night in Whelan's, and they were bloody brilliant, actually.
Yeah, well, I think they'll just leave. I mean, they should be gone by now. I can't remember their first official gig. Whatever, indeed. Anyway, BP Fallon, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. Also, loads more information here, sir. They talk about the various venues, like Slattery's and Dandelion Market, we mentioned at the first, but I've yet to get a definitive time and place. Okay, we'll check that one out. Now, I'm very well. Okay, now, Beep, why am I even talking to you? You're a bit of a you've seen this tour. What do you think of it?
Well, I was just actually listening to the last people who spoke from the gig, you know, and then in came the ads, you know, and you had A Little Bitty Tear Let Me Down by Burl Ives, and then you had Oh, the Good Life. And then you had before that the people saying all the old songs, talking about U2, you know, and then going all the way up to Vertigo, like tons of people said Vertigo, you know. And so that affirms the thing that they have this enormous huge catalogue, you know. A lot of the music is made before their fans really were cognizant of it, you know. An incredible time span, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, the amount of people saying to me, God, I hope to play this and hope to play that from the early days. I don't think they're going to be doing, well, they might, I don't know, Glorious and I Will Follow and that. You never know what Crow Park might do to them. Who knows? Anyway, the gigs that you've been to on the current tour, where have you seen them?
I saw them in Vancouver in Canada and then in New Jersey, New York.
And what was good, I mean, don't forget, like, of the 21 or 22 songs they've been playing that I saw them, like, 10 of them are, as Bono was saying the other night here in the programme, more or less new. I mean, okay, the Electric Co, they have played before, it's even on Under a Blood Red Sky Live and all that, but I mean, like, you know, Into the Heart, and then 7 from the new album.
Well, the track that did it, that was the best track for me was Love and Peace or Else, you know, because it's a noisy MF of a track, you know. It has that sort of Bullet the Blue Sky sort of Led Zeppelin vibe, and I love you two doing that, I'm mad for that, you know. And it was really powerful each time. It was my highlight, you know.
What's the best moment for you, U2-wise, ever? I'm not just talking this tour. I mean, live-wise.
A mad gig in Mexico City, where the people went completely bonkers, basically. But in a tremendously uplifting way. I mean, it wasn't like a sort of heavy metal sort of freak-out. It was, I mean, Bono is such an amazing frontman that he, I think one of his insecurities is needing love from the audience, so he gives it to them and they give it back, and this is like, I don't want to get too cosmic about it, God forbid. But there's this sort of huge kind of storm of vibes, you know, and it's quite incredible, and even if you don't want them to do it, they can lift you up, you know, this combo.
You toured around with them on the Zoo TV tour. You were all over the place and doing records on stage and all the rest of it, etc.
Doing the DJ.
And I remember your first night you went missing and somebody else had to do it or something. But we won't go into that, will we? Second night in Florida at Phil Spector. By the way, have you seen the photos of Phil Spector in the papers lately?
No, how's he looking?
Oh, wow, he looks like something from Pluto. He looks so bizarre.
My job is to look after him at the UE gig at Giant Stadium, actually, in New York.
Wait a minute, you had to look after Phil Spector. Now, for those who don't know who Phil Spector is, fill us in here, because he's the legendary...
Well, Phil Spector is probably the greatest record producer in the world. The record Be My Baby by the Ronettes, which he made and used the Ronettes as sort of toys, really, but brilliantly. I don't mean that as chauvinistic as it sounds. Be My Baby is one of the greatest records ever made. It's, you know, 2.5 minutes of Teenage Symphony. And he did this. He also produced River Deep Mountain High. He also produced George Harrison, John Lennon, you know.
Leonard Cohen, the Ramones, everything.
Ramones, yes, you know, tons of people. But the thing is, you know, he's a little bit freeform. he's always been known to be a bit sort of like genius in one way and lacking several light bulbs in the other, you know. Little guy, you know, terrified, paranoid, gun, loony, and God forbid that he shot someone, please God he didn't, you know.
And so you have to look after him that night anyway in America, so how was he?
Well, he disappeared. Right? So, oh dear.
You lost him,
you know, he slipped away. And then he reappeared with all this sort of phalanx of policemen around him, you know, and they're all gigantic, you know, and it was like some sort of Roman bodyguard coming in with an emperor, you know, yeah. And he kind of grinned, you know, look what I got, baby, you know.
Excellent. Okay, you had a good time touring with you too, though, did you?
Fantastic. One of the best times of my life. I mean, it's a pleasure to work with them, you know. I mean, not only the band, but the organization are very together. I mean, it's no surprise that they're so successful in terms of, you know, the logistic machinery they have. It's really, really world-class, you know, it's not one of the best in the world, you know.
Okay, well, listen, just a couple of promo vibes, which are not you two, but are BP-wise, because people are wondering, oh, there's Beep, where's he been? Two things. First of all, you're in a movie this weekend.
So I believe I'm in a movie, yes. I'm Blowback in the hot-fueled gangster movie Head Rush.
Indeed, by Shimmy Marcus, yeah. Now, I haven't seen it yet, and Beep, I'm just wondering, well, I mean, like, what, do I really want to go? I believe you're full frontal naked in it.
Well, yes, and people said, was that tricky for me? And my flip response is, no, that's the way I was born, you know.
You didn't have a stand-in bottom or anything, no?
No, I'm afraid not, actually. I'm afraid not. I heard you weren't available. You know, I heard that you were doing Michael Flatley's rear-end shot at that point in time because, you know, it's a hard job. Someone's got to do it, you
Someone's
know?
Got to do it.
And art will travel, you know, stand-in bum.
There's a, what do you call it, text here, it says, it's obviously about, what do you call him, Phil Spector, yeah. Pity he died, sorry? Oh yeah, pity he died when he did, but Dudley Moore could have played Phil Spector in a movie. Yeah, they do kind of look
He jolly well now. Could have, couldn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Phil Spector could have played Dudley Moore in a movie, and yet
exactly.
Might.
And yet might.
You know, and we get Peter Cook to do the Oscar.
Ah, very good. Okay, by the way, the other thing besides the movie Head Rush is, what do you call it? Death Disco. When is the next Death Disco with you and Shane McGowan?
It's called Are You Two Vertical, which is a sort of nod of homage to the combo playing in town. We could not ignore them. We couldn't have a party and not ignore them. It's Death Disco at the Village, on Monday night after the last UE gig with, the esteemed Shane McGowan joining me on the turntables and also Steve Rapid and Pete Holliday from Radiators Plan 9, who played tonight at the U2 gig.
So is that and kind of after the last U2 gig on Monday?
Yes.
Right. And which night are you going, by the way?
Monday.
Monday. All right, Monday, so you're going to go to the gig and then you go to the Village to do Death
Disco.
I'm
going to go to the gig and then I'm going to go to Death Disco at the Village and be a DJ.
Very good. There's one here that says that the first gig for U2 was in Ashbourne. His dad was there and he never stops the battle. He's on the phone, is he? Oh, wait, I must talk to him. We'll get Luke on here. Hello, Luke, how you doing?
Hello.
Luke, how are you? Luke, tell me about this. What's this about? BP's on the other line, by the way.
Yeah, well, my father was living in Ashbourne at the time and he went to the first gig and it was in some old rusty community centre.
Have you any idea what they called U2 or what they called the Hype or what were they called?
I don't know what they're called, but they were terrible at the time.
They were dreadful at the beginning. I mean, that's one of the extraordinary things about this band. I mean, I think success is, and I'm sure Luke will agree with me, Dave, and vice versa. I think success is, you know, 10% talent and 45% wanting it and 45% luck.
Okay, would you agree with that, Luke?
Yeah.
Good man yourself.
There you are.
All right, thank you very much indeed for that, Luke. Good man, thanks very much indeed. So Ashbourne and County Meath is supposed to
be. I'm not saying they only had 10% talent, but I'm saying that the talent that they had at the beginning, you know, musically, artistically, etc., Bono vocally, quite extraordinary, grew, you know, and it got Bono at the beginning was not necessarily Caruso vocally, you know, but now he can sing like Al Green sometimes.
Now you can sing like, you didn't happen to hear Al Green on the radio. We interviewed him last week.
Oh, what was he like?
Now, that would make, honestly, Phil Spector feel like
Was he kind of loose at the edges a bit?
Loose at the edges a bit. That's being as kind as possible. He was beyond Pluto. He was
Well, I've
totally
been in the room with him and he hears the phone call ringing.
Really?
Right.
And the phone is not ringing, is that what you're going to
say?
Well,
I don't know, because I was there and he was there, so, I mean, I haven't figured that out.
Right.
You know, I'm a bit worried, actually.
So it might be you.
It might be me, as the actress said to the bishop.
Indeed.
Yes.
All right, so, have you any other U2 things to tell me, Beep, no?
Not really, you know, I mean... You know.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm very pleased with whatever alliance I've had with that band, and very chuffed about it, you know? And I think Bono, people slag the guy a lot in Ireland. I mean, having come back here from New York, you know, for this Death Disco thing and for the movie, for Head Rush, you know, you see things in a different eye. And the way people slag him here, is a way that he's not slagged in other countries, you know. and it's because he's Irish.
Well, I'd say he welcomes that.
What, to be flagged here?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, does everyone in the end just not want LUV, Dave, unless you've got an S&M vibe? You know, you come home and get
whipped. Oh, God, what can of worms have I opened? Luckily, yeah. I'm in charge of the faders here, so I can just get rid of you. In fact, I'm going to do that. So,
right.
Beep, enjoy the weekend, enjoy U2 on Monday, and enjoy Death Disco at the Village on Monday night after U2, the Village being in Dublin City.
And we all shine on.
God and we all you. Shine on, indeed, like the moon and the stars and the sun. Thank you very much. Good man. Take it easy.
Take care, Dave.
See you, Beep. Good luck. Take it easy. I might see you on Monday night at the gig itself, in fact, as well.